Well, I'm not even sure what we need to say anything. We certainly had a visitation from the Holy Spirit last year. And it was major. It was a major thing. And God knows what's going to happen. Morning. I mean, I am only had a couple hours sleep last night, and as I was praying this morning, I was just overwhelmed and thankful for what God's doing in Joanne. And I don't know the extent. It's an inside healing thing, so you can't see it exactly what's going on. But certainly, it's a major transformation and change on a daily basis. It's a real major change. And so, and she was up there, and I was praying, and she had her arm around me praying, and I thought those days were done. You know? And you get, you have what you'd like to call faith, but you know, God gives us faith, and He blesses us. And I, you know, there's a scripture that says that you don't receive anything unless it comes from God. You don't receive anything, and that could be with correction or it could be with blessing. I mean, God is He's the author and the finisher, and He's behind it. Looking at our little sign this morning, we pray for God's will to be done, and at the same time, we got on this sign that there's two things. It says God's will is for all men to be saved. Are they going to be? Well, it would be nice, but just because it's His will doesn't mean they're all going to be. But it still is His will. God's not willing that any should perish. Are some going to perish? Well, of course. But it's not His will. But the thing, the second thing that is so majorly ignored, I don't even know if that's a good combination of words here, but is the fact that God's will is to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's His will. And so, you know, so what we do is we think, well, we can mess around with the scriptures, and we can privately interpret some of it, and we can do what we want. We can't do that. God's will is for us to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so no matter how much we'd like to change God's word, we're not really allowed to do that. The thing is, and it's something that I mentioned last night, and you know, we don't commonly understand that, but the Word of God is unique. It's different than anything else that's ever been written. And Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through Your truth. Your Word is truth. That is His Word. And what we have to begin to understand is that the Bible that we have is a blessing, a piece of literature that God has allowed us to have. And the thing about it that it makes it different is, it is not my thoughts, not your thoughts, it's God's thoughts. And people won't recognize it as God's thoughts. That's the way God thinks. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, and what God spoke to, you know, this last generation through His Son, those are His thoughts and His ways. Those are the things that God wants expressed. He wants to express to us. And so we don't, you know, we have a habit of just thinking, oh, that's a nice book, or those are nice words, or whatever else. But it's vital that we embrace what God believes, what He says. It's vital that we do that. And we were blessed last night. And thanks to Dale and Mary and Tammy and Mike and all of our other relatives and visitors. We had quite a few relatives there last night. And that's not all of them, but that's... There's a bunch, yeah. So anyways, God bless you.
Wonderful people that week after week after week give testimonies, are listening to the scriptures faithfully throughout the week. And one of the things that really ministers to me, and most of you know this, some of you might not, this is my church, and I come to church about once or twice a year. And twice a year is pretty good. I download the sermons and the testimonies, and my dog and I go to church every week through the internet. And in all of my years of loving the Lord and serving Him to the best of my ability, in the last 15 years, 18 years, you said, when Dominic was, about the time Dominic was born is when you started listening to the scriptures, in those 18 years has been the life transformation. And then each year, there's just deeper revelations and peeling off of what we always thought we knew. You know what I'm saying, right? And it's not about becoming more spiritual, and it's not about understanding God's word and theology more. It's about releasing all of my thoughts and my natural conclusions and letting the word actually become the life-giving source. And when you get to fellowship with those who also, the word becomes that life-giving source, it's pure. And the testimonies, sometimes I'll hear, I don't know, each one of you that give the testimonies on Sunday mornings, sometimes will apologize. And Ken's the one that comes to mind. Is he here? He's coming. Okay. Ken will often get up and apologize, you know, or he just shares his vulnerabilities. Man, I love that. Isn't that what this really is about? It's about being vulnerable. It's not about who's arrived and who's got their tote bag, their collection full of perfected theology. Who's arrived? Please raise your hand. It's none of us. Tammy's hand went up. She was fixing her hair.
Well, Tammy does real well.
Tammy does real well. That is true. Yes. I appreciate your vulnerability so much. I want to become, and this is where I'm getting at, in listening to the word and having it be the only source of food, pure, undefiled food, where the Holy Spirit is revealing His word to us. And not adding on the preconceived, not adding on all of our wonderful revelations that we have come up with. Hi, Ken. All of the wonderful revelations that we can come up with, it's about actually shedding those and having an empty vessel, because he's not going to pour his spirit into a vessel that has a whole lot of us in it. It's really not going to. You know, I've often thought about the 12 disciples, and I'm thinking, I've often thought of it, and please don't be offended, but I've often thought of this church as, if you need a new name for the church, the unlikelies. I mean, right? The unlikelies. Because what if he's looking for a group of people like the disciples? What if he's looking for a group of people who'd be happy to trade it all in? What if he's looking for the vessels that he can have it? I don't care. I just want you, Lord. I want you speaking. I want your word coming out of my mouth, not all of my wonderful, 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 wonderful ideas and concepts and all the wonderful things I can do. I can do nothing. But with your word living inside of me and your word, and that's where I am so far away, but I'm telling you, as I listen to the testimonies, I am right here. I'm right here with you. I'm not missing anything. I'm right here with you. And I appreciate your willingness to keep continue. Just for me, taking in, let the seed, your heart, the seed, only be in the soil. And not find the rocky ground, not find the busyness. Keep it in the soil of his word. That's what I love, the purity. And Mom and Dad, thank you for not giving up like a dog with a bone. You just won't give up. It's Clarence Rossi. You won't give up. You won't give up. You won't give up. Don't. Don't. Your family depends on you. And your church family, the people that are being impacted and will be impacted because of this small group of people. I say the smaller the better, but that's just me. Small group of people that holds on to just that one thing. God's the one who's going to multiply whatever he's going to multiply. It's not anything we're going to do. But I appreciate so much what he's doing in you and in me. I love the humanity of each one of you. I love listening to your testimonies, and I feel so close and so connected as I'm listening, and in listening to the word and just having go on and having that be what feeds, and the things that were there, strange things. I also want to thank you, a huge thank you to for all that you have done to help us do what we need to do. You've worked tirelessly, and I just, from the bottom of my heart, I love you both so much and appreciate you so much. And yes, thank you. And each one of you, my heart is so filled with them. You know, a couple Sundays ago, when I was surprised to find out that Mom and Dad went to Culver's with Barb and Glenn, and I'm like, thank you for loving my parents and Ken and Jane and Charlie and Bonnie. Yes. I wanted to call you Charlotte, and I knew it wasn't Bonnie. Here we go. I appreciate I just appreciate your love. As you know, we get older and time goes on, I wish I could be here every day, coming and hugging my mom and dad and coming here and being with you. Thank you for hugging them for me and being that physical hug throughout each week. Thank you for that, because I want them to know that love and feel that love. So thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. I know it's not easy. I know you don't come here to get endorsed, to get validated. You come to give. Yet in that giving, I know that you take so much joy. I can feel it and I can hear it. But thank you for your faithfulness. I love you so much.
A number of years ago, there was she still lives there, but Twyla Hawken lived down at the end of the street, and she had a vision. And in the vision, and of course, when we first started listening to the scriptures, there's a lot more of us than there are today, but the scriptures have a way of becoming boring to some after a while. But anyway, she had a vision. In the vision, she saw me standing at the back of the church with a sword. And I was whacking people with the sword. And people were affected and offended and hurt and bleeding and people were leaving and so forth. So it was a vision. And I still have copies of it. And it took me a number of years of listening to the scriptures before I begin to understand the vision. And the thing is coming to pass. So we're kind of somewhere in this vision right at the moment. But the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's Ephesians 17:17. Or 6:17, not 17. And so when I was given this understanding 18 years ago about listening to the scriptures, I am a dogmatic type of a person, and if what I do is if I'm on some kind of a thing, I will keep at that thing. You know what I mean? And I knew what I had to do, and that was to listen to God's word. And so we listened and we listened and we listened. You know what? I listened for a long time before I understood why to listen. And I mentioned that a little bit last night. The thing is, this is not like a book written by any other man or by any men. It's not like it. And I began to look at it and I thought, I don't understand this. You know, it's so different. What's so different about it? If you do this, I will do this. Unless you do this, except you do this. If you don't receive a love for the truth, you're not going to be saved. That's what it says in the scriptures. And we were talking this morning about God's will. You know, I pray on a daily basis, Lord, let your will be done. And we made these two signs, and the reason we have these is because these scriptures are exactly the same in every translation that we could find. They say exactly the same thing, so we felt comfortable putting them up. The second one here, it says that God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is not a priority with a lot of churchgoers. It just is not. God's will is for Keith Gunn to come to the knowledge of the truth. But Jesus said in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Is that true? Is this the truth? I've come to the realization it is, and not even I'm not even translation what's the word I wanted?
Interpreting?
Biased?
Biased, or whatever. That's not the word, but I'm not... I used to be King James... what do you call it?
King James
only?
Only King James?
Yeah, but there's a word, not an addict, but... well, you could say a King James addict. I'm not. But I realized that God has... There are different things that we find in the Scriptures, but I realized that all of the Scriptures have the same basic thing. And what it requires is the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding.
Amen.
So anyway, I am thankful. And we are still preaching the same thing after 18 years, and that is, hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. For the simple reason that the Bible says in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says that no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him, and no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So no man that you know of knows the things of God, only the Holy Spirit. And we need him to work in us and to reveal God's word.
Tell a little story. I was born and raised in Alaska. And I had my 40th high school class reunion. And I have a sister that lives up there close by my high school. And went up for it and visited with her. And she asked, what's going on in your church? And I said, well, we're still talking about listening to the Word of God. You know, we have it running. And she said, what? Are you still doing that? Still doing that? Well, that was in the year 2007. I get a little embarrassed when she asks now, you know. But so when Keith says he's kind of persistent on this thing, he is. He's persistent on this thing. But it occurred to me. Imagine that you were to ask the people, the Jews out in the Sinai Desert, what they've been eating recently. And,
You're 39.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, what you folks been eating, you know? And, the reaction would be certainly like that. But it is so odd. It's so odd. I come here on a Sunday morning, and it is fresh and alive. Who would think that would be? That doesn't make any sense. You know, pounding away on the same theme for, these 20 years, whatever. But it is. It's fresh. And you remember about manna. You don't eat yesterday's manna. You know, and I don't know what accounts for it. Well, I there's no natural explanation, but for things to be fresh and alive when it's essentially the same theme. There was you remember, they had a hunger for something different, and they ate quail. And that turned out to be not a real good idea. And if we were to... I personally would not have the courage to stay with something 2 or 3 years. Say nothing of 20 years the way Keith does, you know. I would say, hey, you know, new, different, you know, let's, you know, original. We want something fresh and new, you know. Keith, he doesn't do that. He stays in place. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I, you know, it really is odd. I don't think my reaction is unusual. I think other people come and it's fresh, new, it's good, you know. Even though it's not all that different than what we had 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it is today's manna, and I tell you, it tastes good. It tastes good. Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, I was a little late, so I don't... Who shared before you, Shelley?
She was first.
Were you? Good for you. I thought maybe I'd just share a little about the simplicity of what we came to know, I guess, because God revealed it. But I remember back... And yeah, this is so crazy... That it's probably been, what, 18 years? That's, boy, we're dumb. It takes us that long. 18 years of listening. But when it first got kind of introduced, you know, I was a little, you know, here we go. Guy's got an idea, and it's all about the Word, the Bible, you know. And then after a while, I kept, and then I was sitting, I remember I was sitting in one of the back pews, and I went, like the Holy Spirit kind of questions, and it was, how could it hurt to listen to the Word of God? And I sat there and I just dwelt on that. And I didn't, you know, I was working at the time still. I'd listen 5 minutes sometimes in the whole day. I'd be in my truck and I'd listen 5 minutes, and then it was like, oh, I got to listen to something else now. It's just, you know. And then pretty soon, but in those 5 minutes or 10, it's like God would give me this tiny little nugget. And then I started thinking, you know, I bet if I listen more. So then it got to be more and more. But after, who knows, a year or two, whatever. The other thing that finally came was that gave me some peace is I went... You know, after I've been listening now and I realize that the Word of God is everything, it's who God is, I have the answer. I mean, I don't have all the truth, but I don't have to look for the answer anymore. I'm at peace because it's right here. This is the only place I have to go. I don't have to chase after an evangelist or a move or whatever. I just need to eat this. And then little things, you know, what would I wish for God to do for everyone? Pour out His Spirit, be a mighty move of God. Nope. I would pray that He would humble you to your lowest whatever. And then you can start over and have Him teach you. You know, The one of the greatest things I think that's happened to the few of us is we all know that we have been humbled. And I mean humbled. I thought I knew a lot before. I didn't know anything. I know a lot now, but I don't know anything. You know? I mean, and I don't know anything in myself. So I'm going to kind of touch on a thing in the Scripture here about the Spirit, the Helper. Because what came about is I realized what a glorious thing that I do not have to depend on my intelligence to get to heaven.
Amen.
You know, and this will bother a lot of people, but I'm going to keep saying it from now on, but at different times. But there is not one part of your intelligence that will get you to heaven. And here's why. In John 14, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. I will pray the Father, and I'm skipping some verses here, but he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So, how important is it? I'll do it for a couple weeks, or, you know, a Bible study for a year, you know, on the Holy Spirit. No. He will abide with you forever. Who? The Spirit of Truth. So, if it comes by the Spirit, it bypasses your brain. And then it goes on, I am going to my Father, for my Father is greater than me. And, back in 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now listen, he will teach you all things. All things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Should I be listening to what Jesus said? I think so. And I have been. Not as much as I should. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So, how much of my intelligence is needed to know that? However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. It doesn't say you will guide you into all truth. It doesn't say that Keith will guide me into all truth or anybody else. The Spirit of Truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So, I just got put at ease like you wouldn't believe. Because it's so simple. And you know what that does? That levels the table for every human being on earth. Anybody can listen if they would choose. And he will teach you. I mean, I just got, like, all of a sudden I realized God himself wants to teach me and you. He himself wants to teach you. It's glorious. Is it possible? Yes, it is. It sounds like out of this world, but it's not. And when you keep hearing that in John, and then you start hearing other scriptures that back it up, that the Spirit will teach you. That you just listen. I mean, and at first, you know I was tempted. I had a tape in it, and then I'd hear something, and I wanted to reverse and go back and hear it. And then I realized, well, that's silly, because that's my humanity wanting to figure it out. So then I just listen through, and if I thought, if it's important, and I come back through there again, it'll get revealed to me. So it's like... And I know there's probably people that want to, oh, so you think you got the answer. Who are you? I'm just like you. Because you could have the answer too. You know, it's not, well, it is kind of an elite thing, because you have to decide that you want it, and God will give it to you. I mean, and it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how rich you are, doesn't matter if you're heavy or thin or smart or dumb or... You know, it just doesn't matter. Anyone can be taught by God through His Holy Spirit. So that in itself is a glorious revelation. And why is that coming to fruition today? Well, I've been thinking of, you know, I think of that a lot. And when there's all these scriptures and they're starting to show things that are coming about in the world, well, could it possibly be that we're getting close to the end? You know, and I mean, when we started realizing that God had opened this up to us for whatever reason. It was like, yeah, and guess what? There's no miracles going on. There's not a heavy move of the Spirit in the service or anything. But all of us are feeling like this is the best thing that ever happened to us. Because it's taken us down to nothing, and then it's providing a foundation that you can stand on no matter what comes in the days ahead. And it it is a humbling thing when you're sitting here and there's only six, seven, eight of us. And there's nothing visibly going on, but we all know that every person here has changed like you wouldn't believe from what they were. I've been convicted more in the last 10 years than I ever was in my whole life. I mean, not even close. And dealt with stuff, and I still got lots to do yet, you know, but what a glorious thing that you know the Lord is wanting to change you and bring you into what He wants. And it's just by listening, you know. And the crazy thing, too, is, I mean, I sit in my living room and listen with the TV on. Because it's the Spirit, not me. My brain and my ears don't have to hear as a human being necessarily, if that makes sense. It's just got to go to my spirit. And so I can be doing that, well, and at night, you know, when you're sleeping, it's playing. And, you know, it's what a glorious thing. I mean, it seems too good to be true in a way, you know. Although some people think it's nutso, maybe. But, you know, but you know, and like Keith said, once you start listening, you start hearing all the places that God says, hear my word. Hear me. Hear my word. Hear my son. Listen to the prophets because it's me speaking through them. You know? And then we, which is kind of odd in this body, actually don't fellowship much. We do. We're gone during the week and then we come together on Sunday and you can't believe how often we're speaking the same thing. That's what's glorious. It's not, you know, it's not, I'm not doing this, I mean, of course, Keith heard a voice and got the vision or the revelation or whatever. But you know what? I'm not doing this because Keith says I should be doing this. I'm not doing this because Charlie's doing it. You know? And they're not doing it because I'm doing it. We're doing it because we know this is what God wants for us. And it's an individual thing. Every person needs to be taught by God as themselves, you know, and at the rate He wants to teach. So I hope that would maybe just kind of lay it out and give you a vision for a desire to want to have this happen because it's glorious. It's so simple. And you can't take any glory for it because you didn't. I'm not studying these scriptures. If I'm in these scriptures, I'm just reading to see if what I've heard comes alive in front of me. And it has, lots of times. And so it's just a nice, beautiful, simple thing of God.
Those of us who call Halley home are really blessed to see so many people who call other parts of the country home.
Yeah.
And hopefully we don't have to wait for another 80th birthday to see you again. We've kind of been talking today about what God's been doing in our lives. And I'll continue that a little bit, but I'll tell you a couple things. Truly don't believe that we're anything special. And whenever we start to think, or whenever I think that we start to think we're thinking we're special, I get up here and remind everybody who we are and where we came from and how much we need to repent of. Because we wrote the book on knowing who we are, how much better we were than everybody else, and how we were doing what we were doing. We were damned. We didn't leave anything to doubt. You don't do what I say, you're lost. So we're not saying today, if you don't do what we say, you're lost. But I think what we are saying is that there's two or three things that you really need to do. The first thing you do is you repent. The Lord's Prayer says to repent. You repent every day, because every day we wake up and we realize we're still sinners. The second thing that I've learned is patience. You know what patience does? It lets you wait on God. You know, if you wait on God, you know what that does? That relieves all the pressure to have the answers. It lets you stop going for someplace else to know what the answer is. You know how we have 37,000 denominations? Because 37,000 people wouldn't wait on God to find out what the answer was. They made it up. And once they made it up, they built a case. And then they went and they kept spending all their time reinforcing it. Because, let's face it, if you try to look at the scriptures with a natural mind, you can get it to say almost anything you want. If you look at the scriptures with God's eyes, it only says one thing. And unfortunately, as I look at the scriptures with God's eyes, there's so much it doesn't tell me yet. Because I'm not ready. There's not a whole lot I can do to make me ready. I can keep my heart open. I can ask God into my life. I can listen to His Word. But I can't make God give me a revelation. I struggle when I'm out with my fellow Christians and they say, I'm going to get into prayer and the Spirit's going to fall. And whenever I hear that, I go, oh, will you please help me and tell me how you do that? How do you make the Spirit fall? Because I don't know how to do that yet. I know that if I go and pray, the Spirit may fall. You know, so I know I'm not in charge. And I keep coming back to, I'm not in charge. And most of you here are fairly bright people. And so we've kind of pounded a little bit on this intellect thing because, you know, ask me. I'm a pretty bright guy. I do really difficult things. I've done some really amazing things. Most of the people on the planet haven't done some of the things that I do. I don't know nothing. When it comes to God, I don't know anything except what He tells me. And the only thing I can do is remain in that position for Him to tell me. Shelley made the comment that she's glad there's only a few of us. I can tell her that when she's not here, I remind Keith that numbers are not important. And if you listen to the testimonies, every so often I have to remind people that numbers are not important. How many people did it take for God to save the world? One. Anything after that's a bonus. So, if you're in a church with 15,000 people, that could be a great and glorious thing. But don't think you need 15,000 people for God. God only needs one. So, I would like to share with you that I'm very blessed to have you back. We love your parents. I told some of you how I played the song today, Holy Revelation. It's a very important song to me. Because when I walked in the doors here nearly 33 years ago for a service, only to find it got preempted for somebody's graduation, which was totally disappointing to me because I was here for God and somebody was graduating school. Yes, ma'am.
Really?
That's how old you are. Sorry. God showed me on that day that it's an unfolding revelation. Don Burnett used to talk about it all the time. I would have to say it's one of Don Burnett's greatest revelations. Because he had the revelation that the scriptures are not stagnant, not one and done. They are living. Now, we talk about being here, doing the same thing week after week, but we don't. Because the scriptures are unfolding every day. The last thing I'll share is some of you may have noticed that we just let random people get up and talk. There are people who used to be here that will tell you that they can't find that anywhere they go. We not only believe in body ministry, but we put it to practice. Now, we all kind of all do the same thing, so there's some protection there. There's a little discussion among some of us who've been here a while that if someone gets up and they start talking about what they know instead of what the Word has shown them, then we'll probably ask them to stop. Because I'm not interested in hearing what you know. I'm only interested in hearing what God has shown you. And then I want to know, after I hear what Brother Ken or Brother Charlie or Keith or Brother Pablo says, does that really line up? Because is that really what it says? Because I'm really responsible for knowing what the scriptures say, really say what's being said they say. Brother Glenn, excuse me. It's an amazing thing. Every day you repent. Every day you demonstrate patience. Every day you wait on God. And I'm here to tell you, He never fails. He has never failed us. The only time I think He fails us is when I realize that I'm not there yet because I'm not happy with how fast He's telling me what I need to know. And that's not God's failing, that's mine. So, enjoy seeing all your faces. I hope we get to see you more. But do know that we love your parents.
Good to see all of you. Thank you for coming. I've got a confession to make. I don't know if I ever shared this with you, Keith, or not, but when you first started this, I was mad at you. I was so angry and hurt because you took my comfort from me. I had comfort in people telling me things because I didn't think the Lord could speak to me. I really didn't. But when you took that out from me, I had to go through a process of repentance. And I had to give all my comfort up. And when I did, God met me. He met me like I never thought He could. And I just want to thank you. Because now I am a child of God. Before I thought I was, but now I am. He is my Father, and I love Him dearly. And if you wouldn't have done that, I don't think I would have made it. But now I know I'm going to make it. Thank you.
I forgot to mention this. I wanted to talk to Mary last night about something. She teaches a Bible study in the church that they go to out in Coeur d'Alene on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm probably the oldest one. Well, I'm the oldest one here. Probably, well, I don't know. You're not as old as I am.
Not quite.
I'm younger.
A little younger. And but anyway, I probably received the Holy Spirit longer than anyone is what I was going to say, and so indelible impact on me. And she teaches a class in that in their church, and people are really excited, and things are happening. And so it's been over 50 years since I received the Holy Spirit. You know what? In all of that time, it's just now coming alive. It's just now coming alive where I'm beginning to understand what the scriptures say about speaking in tongues. It has had a life-transforming effect on me and on this church within the last couple of months. Because I knew this, I knew some of the scriptures, but I didn't know the scriptures because they hadn't opened up. I didn't know how valuable tongues were to us. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Two verses later it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up. And, I mean, that's just a couple of them. But you know what? God is so awesome and so unbelievable and has gained such a largeness. That's not a word, but you know what I'm saying. So awesome in everything that's involved in me that I begin to understand what he does. He gives us tongues. Do you know why? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought, as it says in the 8th chapter of Romans. So the Holy Spirit comes to our rescue and prays for us according to God's will. What kind of a relationship is that? What kind of a God is that? We are so hopeless, and he knows it, that he uses our tongue and speaks in another language that we can't understand for our benefit. God's a lot bigger than I thought he was. And there's a scripture. And, you know, I love the King James, but there's a scripture in the King James that's wrong. And because it's not in any of the manuscripts, I'll tell you what it is. It's John 4:24. And where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. I want to tell you what it is. Ken is the one that got me understanding that. It says in John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit. That's not what it says in the original. It says, God is spirit. What's the difference? Everything came out from God. God is spirit. God is a spirit that covers everything that exists. No matter where you go, there's God. God is not a spirit. He is spirit. He is the beginning and the end of all things. He has created all things. Everything has come out from him. And so, he is so awesome that he has given us this thing. You know, like back in Isaiah 28, you know, it's like with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. He uses our own tongue and prays through us to accomplish what he wants in us. Did I make any sense out of what I just said? I'm not seeing too many heads going like this.
I get it, Keith.
You got it. Well, but you've heard it before. But anyway, I said that to say that this receiving the Holy Spirit and the tongues aspect of it has got to be one of the most awesome, glorious, wonderful things that God has ever done. And I just say, God bless Mary for pursuing that in that church, because it will change the whole climate of the church. It will. It'll change it. And not that there's anything wrong with it now, but I mean, it'll change it. It'll add a spiritual end to it that's vital.
I was sharing with the guys through the week, you know, about Jesus, and you know, we think about Jesus as this man with an advantage over us because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, right? And you know, he's a man, and you know, whatever. I don't know what people make him be, but. And so when we think about godliness or who God is, we have God, we have the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and then we think about us, man, as like at the bottom of the pyramid of this description of godliness. I don't want to elevate man. Actually, I want to humble us, man. But being a man is a pretty amazing thing. And by man, I mean mankind. However, there's two. I can divide man in two ways. When Jesus prays to God, he says, "I thank you, Father, for those that you have given me." So I don't pray for the world. I pray for those that you have given me. That sounds a little selfish, but Jesus, that's what he wants. So there's the ones that are having eternal life, and there's the ones that aren't going to have eternal life. So us, that we are going to have eternal life. It's pretty amazing to be a man. We are not at the bottom of a pyramid. We're not just man. We are not in disadvantage of Jesus because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Think about that. We are, when we leave this world, our soul is going to go someplace else. That's pretty amazing. That's not just being a man like this. It's just pretty amazing. We have, and going back to Jesus being conceived of the Holy Spirit, and we look at it as a disadvantage from us, but we, when we are born again, of the Word. And we are conceived by the Word. So how are we not just like Jesus when we take this word in? He's not a step above us. He's a step next to us. Okay? And I don't expect people to worship us or pray to us. No. But we are with Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, "Who are my brothers and my mother?" My brothers are those who listen to the word of God and do it. He doesn't say, who are my little brothers? He says, "Who are my brothers?" We are all in this at the same level. So the reason I want to share this is just that there's no extra favor from God to Jesus that there is to us. We are just like Jesus when we are born of the Word. And you're not born of the Word by keeping a Bible in your pocket. You are born of the Word by eating the Word, obviously. I feel is pretty special to be that, you know. You know, when people want to define how the structure of God. That's all, well, God is this and he's not this. Jesus is this and he's not this. And the Holy Spirit is this and he's not this. But we are all those descriptions leave man out. And I want to whoever you think that God is or isn't, I want you to put yourself in there. Because when you want to describe who God is, you are part of the ingredients. Okay?
Yes.
People say, oh, well, God is this and that and that and that. And man, we are who God is. We are not God, but we are who God is. And Jesus, and we are all who God is. You know, it says in Peter, it says, and we will have the same divine nature. The same divine nature. And you know what that means? It means we're going to have the same divine nature. You know what I mean? It means exactly that. And so I don't want you guys to give a pat in the back, you know, because you're so amazing. Now, humble yourself. But also, just, I need to be thankful that we have the same genealogy of Jesus through the Word. We are not in disadvantage. And I just want to finish with, you know, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the vine keeper. Which shows that who God is, we are part of the description. You know, the vine is Jesus, we are the branches. We belong into whoever this definition of God is. It's not the vine and the branches and we are the outside of the fence of the vine. We are in the vine. So whenever you think about describing, you know, God, we are with him. We are not outside of the description of who God is. And so I just don't, again, I'm not trying to elevate the sons of God, I know, but it's pretty glorious that we, in fact, are just like Jesus through this word.
I don't know, maybe some of you had a reaction to Pablo there saying, that doesn't sound quite right to me. Well,
it's good. It sounded good.
Okay, yeah. Let me read a little bit of the scriptures to you. Pablo alluded to it too. It's essentially the same idea. But I want to read in John 17. I'll start... start in verse 21 here. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory that thou gavest me, I gave them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. I don't know, I think Pablo did a pretty nice job of kind of summarizing that, you know. And it is so odd because we know from our own lives the really serious shortcomings that we have, you know. I used the word preposterous a while back, and Pablo had sent him to the dictionary here. And he's been using it since then, by the way. He has a little trouble pronouncing it, but he's... but it is, it's preposterous. You know, that's just nuts. To think that, you know, we... nothing but clay, you know, dust, you know. But somehow or other, we're in the whole mix in some way that, you know, let's not take a pair of scissors and and cut out John 17. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't plan on getting up here, but I actually prayed, you know, like what verse would I say, you know, if I was going to read a verse off, and then this verse, Galatians 2:20, came to my mind, where it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me, and it's just like all the rest of that whole entire thing. Even going on where Pat, you know, like 3:6, I was like thinking it off. It was really good, but it was amazing why I prayed to God, you know, like what verse would I say, you know? I mean, and then that verse came to me, and it's like, here, that's what you guys are talking about. I thought, well, maybe I will say that verse, you know? Because it's like that was the verse that, you know, came to me when I asked him, you know, like what I would, you know, bring up, and then like the mystery of the gospel, you know, Christ being in me. And that, oh, what was really weird is, my life has still not gotten any better over my hours. Because, like, now is the time of the year where I seem to, you know, like, have time to go to church when I'm so busy otherwise. And then it seemed like my whole life would fall apart, you know? And all that I did, and it's like, I don't know. I thought if I sell my house, my sisters are going to probably try to sue me, you know, and then I'll probably have to sue them, you know, is what I thought. And then I thought, you know, I don't see how it's going to bring any glory to God. And I thought I'm going to probably move out of the area. And then it still is that way because my hours are cut in half still, and I thought I'm going to have to get a job next week, you know. But I thought, you know, that's got to be God, you know, to send this whole thing, like what Keith said about the God's the author and finisher of everything that happens in your life, whether it's good or bad. And it's like every time I go through that kind of stuff, I only see it as being good for me. You know, I mean, I'd never want to admit it. You know, so.
Well, why don't we come up to the front?